The answer, of course, children know the answer to that question. No! Nothing too hard for God. It ought to be in the forefront of our thinking. But it's not always there. Our human carnal minds, our human weaknesses. Well, what am I going to do? Oh, woe is me. You know what? That's the flesh. That's not the Spirit. That's not the Holy Ghost making you fear what you don't know. The Holy Ghost is not bringing you down that path. The Holy Ghost would have you to know, to remind you how great God is. Man, I'm not even scratching the surface. In fact, my mind can't even really comprehend. And I've got a big imagination, and I've imagined a lot about God for a long time. And I don't think my mind can even comprehend the vastness and greatness and the majesty and the wonderful things that God has prepared for us. Literally, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. Would you say that with me? Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. And I know people are facing hard things. You may be facing something that you know is too hard for you to fix. Yeah, we get in situations that I don't know the answer. It turned out to be such a mess. I'm in a fix. I'm in trouble. I don't know where to turn. I don't have the answer. Well, I'm here tonight to try to exercise your spiritual thinking about how great God is. Nothing, someone say nothing. Nothing is too hard for God. Luke chapter 18, verse number 27. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. I got scripture for what I'm saying. Here it is. It's in the Word of God. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Let me emphasize here, with God. Sometimes on our own we can't get it done. A lot of times on our own we don't have the answer. Without God, maybe you won't be able to do it. Hold on now. Put on your spiritual thinking cap. With God, all things are possible. I'll tell you what, God knows how to bring us out of a mess. God knows how to fix our situation. The devil tries to convince people, and particularly people who call themselves Christians. The devil would have Christians believe that there was some great thing required of them before they can experience a miracle in their life. Not so. That's not what God said. He did not say, you got to finish the catechisms first. You got to do this and that and the other and 10 more things. No, that's not what God's word said. In fact, the greatness of God is not dependent on us. God is independently magnificent all on His own. We don't make God any greater than He already is. You cannot over-exaggerate about God. It's impossible. God is greater than our exaggerations or our so-called thinking exaggerations. God's greater than that. That's how great God is. God only asks, and I've said this, I don't know, probably 100 times or more. God only asks us to do what is clearly within our own ability. God will never ask you to do something that you cannot do. God will ask what we can do. And that is our part. God has His part. He only calls upon us to perform that which is possible. I've told lots of folks in our church, you know, my philosophy is I'm going to try to do all that I can to serve God. I want to do all that I can within my own ability to serve God. Then all the rest is up to God. I can't heal my body. I can't save my children. I can't save my neighbor or my friend or my coworker. But let me do what I can do. And God will do what He can do. Amen. You see, the unbelievable, even the undeniable, how about this? The miraculous. How about this? The supernatural. You see, these things belong to God. That's God's place. I can't do those things, but God can. God's really good at it. He's done it all already. He's done it for others. He'll do it for you. He's done it before. He'll do it again. God only asks us to do what is clearly within our own ability. And we have several of abilities. Some people are more talented than others. They're not going to be asking me to play the piano or to play the guitar. But I can make a joyful noise. I can be happy when I'm singing out loud, raising my hands and worshiping God. I can be happy doing it. And I believe God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. I can feel God when I worship Him. Amen. He shows me He is real. Amen. He will step in and do what is beyond our ability. He will. He'll step in to the middle of our situation, in a situation where you don't know the answer or are not able to get yourself out of the ditch, the hole that maybe we dug our own self. Maybe it's your fault you're in the ditch. But God is able to bring us out of the ditch, out of that situation, out of that mess. It's simple. I got a very simple mind. I try to think in simple thoughts. We do what we can do so that God can do what God can do. God's not asking you to do his part. God's asking you to do your part, which is possible, that you can do. You can do it because God will enable you. There's times that God will carry you. There's times that God will lead you. God will make a way out of no way. Where it seemed there was no path, there becomes a path. Sometimes God makes a path. We do the simple. God does the spectacular. We do those things that are possible, that we can do. And then God does the impossible, that which we cannot do. Yeah, we can do the ordinary. And God does the extraordinary. The things that are way past us, way beyond what we could do. That's what God does. Yes, God is still in the miracle business. He's a miracle working God. Yes, I believe in miracles. I've seen miracles with my own eyes. I've had miracles in my own body. It's a miracle that God saved me and my lovely wife. I tell you, we are a miracle that God brought us to this place. That we are who we are today. It's a miracle. I was talking with my minister, evangelist buddy, a friend from Bible World Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. I got this little story here. It's about a preacher in Virginia. A man from California read that they were going to have a crusade in the city where his biological father lived. He had never met his father. And he showed up. He invited his father and his family he had never met. 19 people from his family met him at church. Never met him. First time ever seeing him. First time meeting him was in church. And 19 people from his family showed up at church. God filled 15 of those people on the very first night with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. My friend was Rick Crouch. I was talking to him last night. God is not a respecter of persons. He did it for them. He'll do it for you. I tell you, God is able to save your family. Amen. God is able. He's not a respecter of persons. He'll do it for you too. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. When God does marvelous things for us, it gives God glory. When my body gets healed, when I'm recovered from advanced heart failure, it wasn't the gymnastics and the calisthenics, and I didn't do all that. I didn't do that. But God healed my body anyway. I'm telling you, I give God the glory. God healed my body. Amen. God will heal your body. What do you need from God? Pause for just a moment. You think about it for a few seconds. What do you need? Now, stretch your imagination. What do you need? Some things we want, some things we need. What do you need from God? This Jeremiah 32, verse 27. I've started out by reading it. The King James Version is what I read. Is there anything too hard for me? The Barnes Notes renders the same verse this way. Is there anything too wonderful for me? Anything too wonderful for God to do? I'm telling you, God is in the wonderful business. They should call him Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Old Testament prophet said he would be wonderful. The New American Standard Bible, it reads, same verse, is there anything too difficult for me? You think it's too hard for God? To fix your situation? With God, it's not too big or too hard or too difficult or too wonderful. I tell you, stretch your spiritual imagination about God. God is able. The Lord spoke to Abraham, I will multiply thy seed according to the sand of the seashore and of the stars of the sky. Even while he and his wife were childless, they had no children when he received that promise. Whew. Time went by. Time kept going by. More time went by. More years went by. Years and years went by. Years and years, decades went by. He's now an old man. He's now 99 years old. His wife, 89 years old. There's still hope for us retirement age folks. I heard someone say. Well, I'm not looking for any more children. But I tell you, God has no age limits. Truly, I've seen little 5-year-old kids be full of the Holy Ghost. And we've seen people in their 90s, get the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Abraham, because of his physical state, he questioned God. No, Abraham was full of faith. He was a man of faith. But he had questions because he was a human being. It's okay for you to have questions. In fact, you can have a question for God. How can this be? I'm 99 years old. My wife is old too. She's 89 years old. God asked Abraham in Genesis 18, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. You see, Abraham was receiving a word from God. Of course, that came to pass. He got that promise was fulfilled. He had his son. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about Abraham. New Testament. Now, Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 21. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He realized how old he was. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being, get this now, fully, someone say fully. He was fully persuaded that God, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If God said it, he'll do it. You can put your finger on the page in the Bible. God said it, he'll do it. Three important things found here. Consider not your own ability or condition. You know, it was past their prime, if you will, in the flesh. Past the expected time of childbearing years. He considered not his own ability or condition. That was number one. Number two, he staggered not in unbelief. You know, we can convince ourselves out of a miracle if we're not careful. We got to stretch our imagination and our faith and believe and trust in God. He staggered not in unbelief, but have faith and give God the glory. When good things happen to you, don't take credit. Give glory to God. God blessed my marriage. God blessed my home. God blessed my finances. God has blessed my family. God has blessed our church. Thank God for his blessings. Give glory to God. Don't take that credit for yourself. Give it to God. Give the glory to God. Number three, he was fully persuaded in the promises of God. I tell you, you can believe the Bible. The devil is going to try to get you to not believe it. Our society is going to tell you that it's unbelievable. that you can't believe it, I tell you, the Word of God stands on its own. And God is great, whether if anybody believes in Him or not. God is still great. God doesn't need you to make Him great. God is great all on His own. God was great before we ever arrived. And God will be great when we're done. God is great. Can you believe God for healing? Sure you can. I don't know of another church, in my own knowledge, that has had more miracles than this church. I'm telling you. Give God glory for it. Thank God for it. It's not because of us. It's because of the God that we believe in. It's one of my... And there's lots and lots and lots and lots of people that have been healed in our church. But I remember that. Remember way back in the storefront, Robert Tripp, doctors, he had a stroke and said, "You're going to be paralyzed, never walk again." Gave him the explanation of why he couldn't walk again. And there's a part of your brain that's now dead and it's never coming back to life, and you're never going to walk and you're never going to use your legs. And he got up out of that wheelchair from the back of the church. And he was walking towards, it was altar call time, and he got up in the back of the church out of his wheelchair and started walking toward the altar. Man, I just give God glory. I give God glory. You know, the doctors said it was impossible. Later on, you know, another month went by. We were in our tent meeting. Robert Tripp got out of that wheelchair. He went to the tent meeting in the wheelchair. But at the tent meeting, he got up and ran around the perimeter of the inside of that tent, walking and leaping and praising God. I think I've read about that in the Bible. But I've seen it with my eyes. People who had no hearing in one ear. It's happened twice that I know of in this church, where God opened deaf ears. God's opened blinded eyes in my own family. I tell you, God has healed a number of people of cancer. I remember one guy, man, I was on my deathbed. They diagnosed me with fourth stage lung cancer, and they gave me 3 weeks to live. I thought I'd come to church. He lived another long time after that, coming to our church. Tim Matthews, one of my favorite ones, we were at the prayer line. He was at the very prayer time was coming. He jumped out. He came up. He was in his crutches coming up to get prayed for. And he had a diagnosis. He had x-rays with him. He was going the next morning to get a surgery done. And he was telling me at the altar, "I got these x-rays. I got to bring them to the doctor tomorrow. They're going to do surgery. They have a torn Achilles tendon. And if they operate, then I won't be able to do my..." He was a truck driver, a delivery driver. "I won't be able to work for 6 months or some long time until this heals. I'll be able to walk again after they do the surgery, but after I heal in a long time, and I can't go without work for 6 months. I don't have that hope. You know, it's a catastrophe. I'll lose my house and my car and my home. I'll lose everything in 6 months' time." He was desperate. We prayed for him. We prayed for all the other people in the line. He came back up at the end. When all the other people went through, he came back a second time and got prayed for again. About the time we touched him that second time around, his hands shot straight up, the crutches fell down both sideways, and he took off walking and leaping and praying. He was running around the sanctuary. He went to his doctor's appointment with the x-rays, carrying the crutches and the x-rays, and handed them to the doctor. Here you go. You can look. Here it is. No surgery. Guess what? I'm telling you, my God is an awesome God. Now, if God has healed your bad headache, great, that's a miracle too. But God can heal more than headaches. Is anything too hard for God? Can you believe God to take care of your family? And this one's hard for me. You know, I've raised my kids in church. I brought my kids to church from the very week of their birth. Every one of them. Brought them to church each Sunday. Showed them. Brought them. Prayed with them. Raised them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I believe God is big enough to save my family, even when they don't do right. Even if they step off the path, they're still breathing air, God. I believe your word, God. You'll train them up in the way they should go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. I'm putting my finger on the book, God. I believe it. We can trust God for our family, for our children, for our grandchildren. Lord willing, someday, great-grandchildren. Woo-hoo, Janie's ahead of me, but I'm going to catch up. I got good hope. A few more years. God will save your spouse. I believe it. I believe it. Parents. God saved Jeanette's parents. I believe it. Amen. Whatever has your children or your loved ones or your family member, whatever has them bound, I believe God is able to set them free. I believe it. Can you believe God for deliverance? Yep, you can. Yes, you can. You can trust God. You can't trust our own selves because we're weak in the flesh. But you can trust God. God is able to bring you up and out of that. Whatever has you bound, God is able to set you free. In Daniel chapter 6, verses 20 to 22, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? It was the king's law that he signed. He was tricked into it, but yet he did sign it. That put Daniel in that lion's den. The king wanted to know, you okay, Daniel? Was your God able to save you, Daniel? The world is looking. Is God able to save you? I'm telling you, the world is going to see my God is able. Daniel said, my God has sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. Amen. Can you believe God for the Holy Ghost? Yeah, as best I can tell, perhaps everybody in here has the Holy Ghost. Last month's revival, correct me if I'm, what were the numbers? 7, I think it was, that received the Holy Ghost and 11 people baptized. I think that's the numbers. That was right here in this church just last month. Not very long ago. And I was talking to Brother Crouch last night. I was dreaming out loud with him. Sometimes I dream with my minister buddies about what God will do. And I was talking about you. What God would do here. What God would do in Connecticut. I'm telling you, God wants to use this church to be a blessing beyond the walls of this sanctuary, beyond the confines of this city, beyond New London County. I'm telling you, God wants to be a blessing to the Connecticut district of the United Pentecostal Church through this church. I believe it. God didn't give us this for our own selves. God gave us this that it would give him glory. That we would give him praise. That we would magnify God with what he's given us. I was talking to Brother Crouch, and they had the evangelist. I don't know if I forget the evangelist's name. He's a doctor, and he's going around doing tent revivals, and there's literally thousands of people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost in these tent meetings. It's even been on, you know, like Newsmax and different non-primary news media, but even the secular news media now are getting hold of what's going on, and the thousands, literally thousands of people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost in these meetings. Well, that evangelist was having a meeting at Bible World Church, the church I used to go to and the church he still goes to. They had one day of services at Bible World, and they had 36 people baptized. And the same 36 people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, it's like the pages of the Bible still unfolding. We are in the book of Acts. The actions of the apostles. I'm telling you, God is working in us. We are continuing the body of Christ, the church. Stand with me. We got just a few more minutes. What I'd like to do, in fact, why don't we take the last 4 minutes? No, I normally try to get done right at 8:30. I got 4 minutes. Why don't you come on up here, and we're going to have a closing prayer. We're going to raise our hands together. I'm going to ask you to use your imagination. Stretch your faith in God. What do you need God to do in your life? Let's close this service with our hands raised, giving praise to God, magnifying him. And after we've loved the Lord for just a few moments, for maybe 30 seconds, I want you to ask God for what you have need of. Let's go ahead and worship him. Or don't ask him for anything yet. Just love him for a moment. Lord, I love you, Jesus. I praise you. Lord, I know how great you are. God, your word is already established. Your greatness is beyond measure. Lord, we cannot even comprehend the greatness and the glory and the power, the majesty, the wonderfulness. Lord, the greatness of your ways. How wonderful you are. Oh, great, mighty, holy, precious living God. Jesus, I worship you. I praise your name. I worship you, Jesus. I adore you, Lord. I thank you, my God. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I worship you. I praise you, Lord. I adore you. I glorify your name. I magnify you, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful things that you've done already. Thank you for the healing of people's bodies. Thank you, Lord, for the remission of sins and people being baptized. Thank you, Lord, for people being filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing just what you did in the Bible, just like you did it in the book of Acts. Thank you, Lord, for doing it in our church. Thank you, Lord, for doing those things here. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, right now's the time. Go ahead and ask God. Ask God for whatever it is you need God to do in your life. Would you ask him? Would you raise your hand? Would you ask God for whatever it is that you have need of in your life? Would you ask God right now? Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. God, you know the need, Lord, in our lives. Lord, that you would save my family. God, that you would give revelation, Lord God, to this church. God, save souls and perform, Lord God, what you said you would do. Do it, Lord God, for your own glory and by your own power, and that by your majesty and grace and mercy, Lord, that you will, Lord, save us. Thank you, Lord. Meet the need right now that is being asked, Lord God, by this your people. God, you're able to hear every single need right now, and you're able to do according unto your own greatness, even beyond our own comprehension. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. God, I praise you. I love you. I worship you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name, God. I worship you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I magnify you, Lord. I thank you, my God. God, you are able. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus.